out of slavery. He's greater than Joshua. Joshua brought the Israelites to the promised land. But Jesus brings a superior eternal rest. Aaron in the Levitical priesthood, oh my gosh, he's better than Aaron and all the priesthood. How could that be? Jesus is better than all those things, the book of Hebrews says. And then the old covenant, and boy, that was tough. Jesus mediates a better covenant built on better promises, which is established in his blood rather than written on stone, as the old covenant was. And then, oh my goodness, he's better than animal sacrifices. Jesus' sacrifice of himself was once for all, whereas the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin completely. And I think there was one more. Was there one more? And the Old Testament law and tabernacle. And then, of course, earthly inheritance, the hope. He's anything that you can get on this earth, he's better than that. And that's the premise of everything that I've read through Hebrews, just giving you an overview of that today. So my charge to you today is fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't give up because Jesus is better. And so we're gonna hone in on that one phrase that I told you in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There's a verb there in that sentence that says, let us throw off. Throw off means to set it aside, to put it out of reach so it's not there. I do this all the time with food because I can take a bag of snacks, and if it's sitting on my lap, you know what's going to happen to it? I'm going to eat most of it or all of it. I have to put it out of my reach. I have to put it where I got to physically get up and go, or I'm going to go for it. That's what he's talking about. You throw it off. You put it out of your reach. You put it out of where it's not easily accessible. Throw it off. Because if we don't do that, it trips us up and it weighs us down, he says. It trips us up and it weighs us down. So a lot of us in the Christian life, we all have specific things that we deal with on a regular basis. And we deal with sins on a regular basis. And a lot of churches don't like to talk about sin, but I don't mind it because I think it's in the Bible, so we're going to talk about it. And he says, there's a sin. Throw off the sin that easily hinders. And so what your sin is not particularly my sin. And your sin, it goes back and forth. And so we have to be very careful and understand that when he says, throw off the sin that he's talking about, that could be anything. That could be anything at all. So everything that hinders, that word hinders is a noun. That word hinders, anything that slows you down, that stops you, that keeps you from going forward. And it's a very generic word, and it just means any kind of weight. Hinders means any kind of weight that slows you down. So if you think of life as a race, and a lot of the scriptures talk about life as a race, and it's not a sprint, it is a marathon, and it is a long-distance marathon. If God gives you life, and you go, and you go, and you go. And so he's talking about, as you run that race, these weights get piled up on you, and we allow them to come on to us, and we allow them to trip us up, and we carry those weights around with us everywhere we go. But it doesn't matter. As you live your life, you're going to pick up weights, and we're going to call those sins. And those sins could be 5-pound sins. And a lot of you, you know, you've lifted weights before. 5 pounds, you can run a race and keep going. Not so much. It doesn't hurt. And you put on another 5 pounds, and then another 5 pounds, and another 5. And pretty soon, the race gets laborious. And so the Hebrew writer says, set aside anything that hinders, that weighs you down. And it could be anything. And there's three common ones that I want to speak about that the book of Hebrews kind of talks about over and over again. And Jesus came to talk about these, and he talked to all the people that were Israelites. He talked to the Jews, and he told them about these things that they were to throw off. The first one was this, was stress and the anxiety of life, just the circumstances of life, the things that come at us. It's like running, if you're going to run, somebody told you you had to run a long race, and the morning of the race, you wake up and you've got asthma, and you're sitting there, I can't breathe, but you're determined to run the race anyway, and so you start out the race with asthma, and somebody all of a sudden, as you're running this race, hands you a 45-pound weight and says, here, carry this, and here you are carrying it. And you're running and trying to run the race. And what it does is it not only hinders you, but it stops you. And you begin to feel overwhelmed. And you're going, why do I have to carry this weight? Why am I carrying this weight? And so for someone, as they give you this 45-pound weight, it could be anything. It could be any of the circumstances that you're going through right now. We're getting married, or somebody's sick, somebody's doing this, you feel it, and you go, oh, that's a lot. That's so heavy. And even as the band was up here today worshiping, you were supposed to be giving your all to Jesus. Some of you were thinking about a bill. Some of you were thinking about a job that you didn't have or you need to go, or some of you were thinking about a conflict, and you weren't truly giving God your all because that weight was on you today, that weight you walked in here with. And worship is supposed to be a time where you take that weight and you throw it off. You literally throw it off, and you don't allow it to go back out that door with you today. And so the idea is this, that things are okay on the race, and then suddenly you're handed this weight, and it's this stress and this anxiety. And like you run, but you're not running very effectively, and you're kind of slow, and you're kind of looking around and going, how much longer can I run? How much longer can I take this? And so we run with that. But you put them together and you say, okay, I don't have a 45-pound weight, but some of you do. But you've got a lot of 5-pounders sitting around. You've got a lot of 5-pound weights that are just piling up, and you're carrying them around day after day after day. Stress and anxiety is a weight that God never intended for you to carry around, but you continue to carry it. Another weight that you carry around is religion. And Jesus talked about this, and the book of Hebrews talks about this. And don't confuse religion with Christianity, because it's not the same thing. Jesus says, and the Hebrews say, that religion slows you down. It weighs you down. And as you try to run, this religion can come to you, and it can force you to quit and to stop trying. Jesus was in Matthew 23, verse 4. He's talking to the religious leaders, and he's getting ready to come out to the religious leaders about who he is. And as he's talking to these religious leaders, he says this. They, speaking of the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders of the church back then, he says, you crush people with unbearable religious demands. And you never lift a finger to ease the burden. And you just keep adding more weight. And so he was speaking to them, and they were like, what? No, we're God's chosen. We're up here doing God's work. And Jesus puts them on notice that they're not doing what God wants them to do. You say, Jeff, why are you talking about this? Because today, a lot of you were raised up in a religion. You were raised up in a time where religious people told you things, and they crushed you, and they put you down. And you'd go to church, and a pastor, or maybe the priest, if you grew up in the priest in that experience, it became weight to go to church, because they tell you things you were always doing wrong. And they would tell you, keep trying, keep trying. And you would get exhausted because you go in there week after week wanting to be lifted up, and another weight was piled on top of you. And so you start to think that Christianity, or that faith, is about trying. Listen to me, church. Faith is not about trying. Religion is about trying. Faith is not about trying. Church, trying is religion. When you try, you will fail. You ever tried to go on a diet? You ever tried to get healthy? The only way that we change is through the help of the Holy Spirit and God. God changes us. Sure, we have to do our part. We have to throw off those things. We have to throw away those things that are tripping us up. But our part is not to try. Our part is to be open to what God says and then be obedient in doing it. It is not to continue to try and try and try. You see, religion says you're not trying hard enough. So religion has this ability to take us, and we stop trusting God. And so that's why so many in the previous generations have fallen away from God, because you don't trust him anymore, because you went there asking for him to do something and all they told you was try, or all you got was try. And that's religion. Religion says keep trying because you're not doing it hard enough. Religion helps us in no way at all, because Jesus already did what was needed to be done for you and for me. Our goal is to get in step with his voice and the Holy Spirit and to go where he tells us to go. So religion is another common weight that the Hebrew writer was talking about. It's not just sin and stress, it's religion. And then the third one is just sin struggles. That's a common weight. And you throw those off. How do you throw them off? Well, you do it. It's a daily procedure through repentance, through confession, through accountability. You find somebody to say, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with these thoughts. I'm struggling with overeating. I'm struggling. You find somebody and you walk with them and you tell them, today I did well. Today I fell off the wagon. It's kind of funny. Hebrews 4, chapter 12, says this, and I didn't catch this until I read this about Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, four times. And I read this verse, and that's going to come up on the page here, hopefully. 4:12, the Hebrew writer says this, in your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood. I want you to just read that a couple times. Just be quiet and just read that. Read that. Basically, the Hebrew writing is saying this. If you're not bleeding, you haven't resisted enough. If you're not bleeding, you haven't resisted enough. Because he tells you again, resist the devil and he will flee. You resist. It's intense. It's huge. It's gnarly. You resist it so bad that you're almost bleeding. My mom, growing up, I remember several times I'd come to her and I would complain of getting hurt. I'd say, Mom, I'm hurt. And she'd go, are you bleeding? No, I'm not bleeding. Well, get out there and play. Keep playing. Keep playing. When you're bleeding, we'll talk. But there's no blood yet, so get back out there and play. Right? Some of you had that. Some of you maybe not. The Hebrews writer is saying this. He's saying, look, you're not bleeding yet. You're not bleeding yet. So get back in the game. Keep resisting sin. Maybe we can talk when you're bleeding. But you're not even bleeding yet. Resist the devil. And that's so much intensity. That's how much intensity he wants. So you get to the point of where you're almost bleeding. You're shedding blood. See, Jesus shed some blood. Not us. You're not bleeding yet. You see, our tendency is, God, well, you're the one who gave me these feelings. You're the one who made me this way. You made me to have these feelings for that person. You made me to have these feelings for that sex. You made me to have these feelings for that food. You made me with these feelings to enjoy that. And then we're putting the blame back on the one who built us. What are we supposed to do when we come to that point? You're supposed to bleed. You're supposed to resist sin with all of God's strength and all of his might. Not your strength. You got none. You can try, but you fail. I fail. The screen is going to say this. Sin will separate you from God. And then it will blame God for the separation. Sin will take you and move you away from God and then saying, it was God's fault. He didn't show up. That's what sin does. Sin will say things like, I'll say things like, I'll deal with this later. I'll do this when I get through this. I'll deal with that sin later. And then what happens is sin builds this wall between you and God. And then when you get that wall built, you get there, you don't want to do it anymore. You don't want it. You're just like, I'm done. I'll just go on. I'm okay over here because I like this. This is good over here. This sin over here, I like this. It feels good. It is good. It makes me feel, I'll just stay in my sin. Sin builds a wall that down the road you don't... You don't want to do it anymore. It separates you from God. Listen to me. Sin separates you from God. And some of you know this because you're here today and you're not making any progress. You're the same spiritual person you were 6 months ago. You're the same spiritual person you were 5 years ago. You're still in the same sin that you had 6 years ago. You're still stuck in that sin. Jeff, you're being pretty hardcore today. Yeah, I am. Yes. See, I think a lot of us, we're trying to run the race, but I'm not ready to repent of what it is that I'm doing because I like it. You know, it's just a fallacy in the Bible. That's something that was written years ago, and he doesn't really mean don't do this, don't do these things, don't have sex before marriage. No, you don't need to do that. Just you love each other, and you know God knows your heart. Yes. No. Anything that we like more than God, that's a sin, church. That's a sin. Sin robs you of energy to run the race. Sin sucks the joy and the hope out of you. And some of you today, you are sitting here, you are hopeless, you are joyless, and you're wondering, why am I like this? It's because it's sin that you've not repented of. It's because sin that has got a hold of you and you've kept holding it and you keep it hidden from God. And God wants you today. You say, what do you want me to do? He wants you to rip it open and say, here it is. Here's my sin. You know what your sin is. Here it is, God. You do something with this because I can't. And he's gonna look at you first and he's gonna say, my son covered it. Now go and I'll walk with you through every hard thing you go through from here on out. David described this, what we're talking about, this lack of joy and peace in Psalms 32. Let's read it together, as if you've got it in your Bible or up here. It says this, poor old David. When I kept silent before I threw off the guilt and the shame, before I repented and confessed, when I was silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Sound familiar? For day and night your hand, he says to God, was heavy upon me, and my strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Think there's more? Yes, no? That may be it. I thought I'd put more. Nope, you're right. Sorry, it was me. Sorry. David knew what was up. David described this thing that you and I are here today because we have a sin problem and we've not let Jesus, we've tried to do it, and that's religion, and we've not thrown it off, and we've not listened when God tells us or someone else reminds us. So as we see these things that hinder us, there are lots of other things we could address. These things that hinder us, I could go to talk about pride. I could talk about, you know, addictions. I could talk about all those things, and I don't want to talk about those because I think the book of Hebrews comes down to one thing. The Hebrew writer gives us one specific sin, the sin that starts to sound more specific, that sin that tangles us. Now you can put number two. The sin that tangles us is not pride. It is not some addiction. The sin that does that, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think, if you could think of everything that hinders as the weights in the gym, it's the weights that you put on that bar. So you pick up the weights, and those weights are everything that hinders it. That's sin. That's the sin that hinders us. Now, the bar is what all those weights go on. That's what entangles us. The bar, when you go to get snatched that bar, when you go to pick that bar up, that's what stops us. If that bar causes these weights to add so much pressure, so he talks about this sin that so easily entangles. What is that? Well, it seems really clear to me after reading the whole book of Hebrews time and time again that the sin of unbelief is not having enough faith. It's that you believe that God can't. And a lot of us are parked there. We're camping out there. And God can do it, but he's not going to do it with me. Well, God can do anything, but he's not going to do it with me. Didn't even know that was a sin, Jeff. Unbelief? Yeah. It's a sin that entangles us. You see, that bar allows all those other sins to be on it, but the bar is the sin that tangles. It's not believing that God can do anything. And that's what's hindered the church. That's what has hindered the world, because we don't believe that God can do what God said he could do. If you got faith, you can move a mountain. You speak to the mountain. It's not believing that God is who he said he is. It's a sin. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I believe that I have faith that Hebrews 11:1 says this: I'm sure because it's something I don't quite see, but I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. And that's the kind of faith that I want to instill in you this morning as you go and fix your eyes on Jesus, is that you have a God who is better than anything out there. Jesus is superior. Jesus is better than whatever it is that's stressing you out. Jesus is better than any religion. Jesus is better than any sin that's entangling you. He's better than all that. Matthew 11 says this. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I just want you to listen. I don't want you to read. I just want you to listen to Matthew 11. Just listen. Close your eyes. Soak this in. I've done this before, but I think it's so powerful today to listen to this. Listen. Are you tired, worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything too heavy on you. I won't put any heavy weight on you or anything ill-fitting. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. You can open your eyes. What a comforting, comforting verse of scripture. That's real. He will not pile too much on you. The stress and the anxiety that some of you are feeling, it's not yours to carry. He will, if you will toss it off to the side, he will do something in you that you can't do. That you can't do. Jesus is saying to you this morning, I'm better than religion. In case you wondered, I'm better than your best. I'm better than your efforts. I'm better than your record of right and wrongs. I'm better than your acts of generosity. Oh, you do all these good things for everybody and you're such a good person. Nah. I'm better than your church attendance. Put your hope in me. If you believe that, here's the message I want to send you home with. I'm just about done. If you believe that Jesus was better than your sin, then sin will lose its power over you because you would trust him first. If you believe that Jesus is better than your sin, you will trust him the next time you go to your sin. Some of you walked in here carrying a 45-pound weight. You've got some stress and some pressure and some guilt and some shame. Why are you doing that? Why are you carrying that around with you? That is not yours to carry. Jesus in Hebrews is talked about as being the one who deals with the weight, who deals with our sin. He deals with our sin. You don't have to. I believe that Jesus is better than anything you can buy. I believe that Jesus is better than any website that you can visit. I believe that Jesus is better than any relationship you're in. I believe he's better than any house you can build, any car you can drive. I believe that Jesus is better than any vacation. I believe that Jesus is better than the biopsy that you're waiting on to get the results from. I believe that Jesus is better than the bills that you're struggling with right now. I believe that Jesus is better than the friends on your social media. I believe that Jesus is better than being popular or getting the promotion that you keep striving for. I believe that Jesus is better than anything you can smoke, drink, or put in you. I believe that Jesus is better than any lover, any politician, any entertainer, any athlete. I believe that Jesus is better than life. I believe that Jesus is better than death. So if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're worn out, today I remind you, fix your eyes on Jesus because he is better. Let's pray as the band comes. Jesus, forgive us for our unbelief. I just pray for today for some real repentance in this room. I pray for some repentance online for some people that are watching this today. That we will come to you and we will trust you. That we will let you be Lord, not just of our salvation, because most of us have done that. But what we haven't done is we haven't made you Lord of the broken down car. We haven't made you Lord of the bills. We haven't made you Lord of our money. We haven't made you Lord of our health. We've just kind of said, yeah, I'll do this. I'll let this part go, but not that part. So God, just do a work in us today. Start with me. I can't speak to my brothers and sisters here, but I know that you're doing a work in me. Father, let us stop trying. Let us start letting you be God in our lives. Love you, and I just pray these next few minutes would be beneficial for the kingdom as you move through your Holy Spirit amongst this group of people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. March the 22nd, we're going to have the baptistry open here, and we're going to be baptizing people. I pray that if that's you, that you'll talk to me in the next couple of weeks. That's a good starting point. If you're here today and you're going, Jeff, everything you just talked about is a load of hooey. Okay, let's talk. If you're here today and Jesus is kind of walking around in your mind and your heart doing some things, then you and him need to do some business today. You need to do some business with him and say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've made my life. I'm sorry that I've taken control of this ship that I was never meant to do. Hebrews says this, faith has a story with it, church. It has a story. It has your story with it. Faith gets put into practice. Not in here. In here is nice, but it gets put in practice out there. It's all right to be filled with Jesus, and most of you are filled with Jesus, but you're not letting any of that out. You're not showing that love. You're not showing that mercy, that forgiveness, that kindness. You're not sharing who Jesus is in your life because you're scared. Somebody will reject you. Somebody will walk away. Jesus is better than your fear. He's better than whatever it is you're dealing with today. Faith has an action, church. And as Easter is rolling up on us, you better be reminded, and you need to be reminded today. There's action that Jesus wants from you. He wants you first to be open to him and to say, God, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to say? Who do you want me to talk to? And then you go and you act. Let's see what God does in the next few minutes as the band sings. If you'd like to talk to somebody, please come and let us know. Quiet.